Good morning. For those of you who were here for the call to prayer chapel on Wednesday, you know that for each chapel for the rest of this semester, we'll have this candle reminding us to be in prayer, seeking transformation in Christ as a part of the listening process, but also praying for the listening process. We won't make announcements each time. We'll simply light the candle. This morning, we focus on peacemaking. And in a chapel connected with the Intercollegiate Peace Fellowship Conference, which begins, I believe, today at 4, we are pleased to have Ted and company and also Mennonite Central Committee with a presence here in chapel. And then this evening, the I'd Like to Buy an Enemy performance, which will be in Main Stage Theater. My email about chapel said it would be here. That's not correct. It's in Main Stage. And you do need tickets for that. Specifically, we have Ted Swartz and Tim Rupke today bringing one piece of the performance for this evening. And then they will make some connections with the ongoing, gentle, persistent, intentional efforts of peacemaking through Mennonite Central Committee. And so let's open with applause, thanking Ted and company for being here.
Oh, I'm sorry, did you want something?
No, I'm okay.
Cavendish.
Excuse me?
What you're eating? It's a Cavendish banana.
Okay, I didn't know that.
I'm a Cavendish.
Okay.
Do you know where that came from?
What? The banana?
Yes. My fellow brethren, do you know where he came from?
He?
Yes, yes, yes. The banana is generally thought of in the masculine.
Okay, where did I get this? 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven?
Is that the wrong answer?
You, my young friend, have a fruit footprint. It's a fruit print. And it's a large one.
Hey, are you saying I shouldn't eat bananas? I like bananas. Potassium. Potassium's good, right?
The banana and I do not need your ignorant desires.
Banana and I.
You say bananas, I say banana and I.
Oh. Okay, now you're just making stuff up.
It's French.
It's not French. It's a word you just made up.
You remain ignorant of your fruit print.
Hey, I'm just waiting on the bus.
Oh, yeah. We're just waiting on the bus. Everybody's just waiting on the bus. Maybe the bus has passed.
Hey, is this a white male thing?
What?
Because I'm tired of taking the blame for all the country's problems.
The point is, this is just one of hundreds of varieties of what we have come to call the banani. If you are going to partake of the pocket potassium package, you should know of whence we've come.
Whence?
Yes, yes. Honduras, Guatemala, Central and South America.
Oh, that whence.
Yes. And how is it that you can walk into the 7-Eleven and purchase said delectable?
Chiquita.
Chiquita.
Yeah, Chiquita.
Well, that's a happy sound, isn't it? Chiquita. It wasn't always known as Chiquita. Did you know that? It used to be known as United Fruit Company. That doesn't sound so happy, does it? And it was many years ago that United Fruit decided that the world was ready for one banana. There was money to be made. And so they chose a banana that was large and sweet and traveled well to be the one banana. But where to grow them? Our friends at UF, I like to call them UF.
UF.
UF. They realized that the best places to grow them were places like Guatemala and Honduras, but they were already inhabited by, well, Guatemalans and Hondurans. What to do? what to do. You were waiting at the 7-Eleven. There was money to be made. So UF said F you, and they took the country. And people died for your right to have the one banana.
I did not call for the one banana.
There's a name for this, where this happened. Did you know that? Banana republics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, banana republic.
Oh, you know the term.
Sure. It's all I wear.
Where? Yeah. It's a clothing line?
Yeah. Cool, comfortable, chic. That's their motto.
Chic. Chic. Violent repressions of a sovereign country in order to monoproduce fruit that fits snugly in a lunchbox for capitalistic gain is not chic.
Apparently it is.
Since when?
I don't know, 30 years?
30 years?
Hey, calm down.
Well, it's a term of derision, Banana Republic. It's a pejorative. Banana Republic. Next thing you know, they'll have a children's game called Monopoly.
Well, actually...
What?
Are you saying I'm somehow responsible for people dying because I ate a banana?
The blood of the peasants is as fresh as the pulp on your teeth.
Hang on. You are throwing accusations of ignorance and making implausible jumps of culpability regarding my participation in acts of violence that are, at best, tangential. I mean, this occurred, what, 60 years ago?
Those who read history are destined to make it worse.
No, no, it's those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it.
Well, that's what I said.
No, it isn't.
I was just capturing the gist.
You weren't even close.
It was a palindrome.
Oh, come on. A palindrome?
Yeah.
No, a palindrome is a word or phrase that's the same backwards as it is forwards. Like a man, a plan, a canal, Panama.
Don't get me started on Panama.
Oh, okay. Look, I'm out of here. What? I'm going to walk. I'd have to be crazy to get on a bus with that banana.
Oh, that's a metaphor, isn't it? It is. It's a metaphor. You won't always have the Cavendish, you know? There's a virus going around. Most of us have it. There's no cure. They think maybe 20 years and we'll all be gone. Just like this little fella. His name was Howard.
Thank you so much. As Brian said, Tim and I are going to be performing the entire show this evening. I'd like to buy an M8 at 8 o'clock at the Main Stage Theater. Just a bit of a word about why the show is written and what we're hoping to attain with that. It's a satire, it's a comedy, and comedy works best, we believe, that when it is telling the truth in some way and perhaps poking holes in society where it needs to be poked at. So if you have any questions about this piece, come tonight and ask them in the talk back. We have some conversations. I feel like somewhat of shortcutting the conversation because the banana is almost always one of the scenes that people want to talk about because, after all, it's a guy in a banana suit. So, but please come this evening. We feel like there are a number of issues that we wish they were going away, but they don't seem to be. And we are also very, very happy to have this relationship with MCC. MCC is sponsoring up to six to seven shows of this around college campuses. And the relationship that we started has its themes around barriers and walls. And we just spent 3 days with Saul Padilla, who works with immigration issues and specifically the border and the fence along the US and Mexican border. And we learned an awful lot during that time in the way that we create enemies and create others. We feel like it's happened so much overseas, it's happening right down below us. And the environment that's there, and Solo said that we don't hear about it very often. We kind of know it's there, and we get sold this idea that for our protection, once again, basing it on our fears that we have to have this wall. And he has this tremendously striking photograph of the wall before NAFTA, which is the free trade agreement that was signed in the 90s. And the wall, fence, it's a wire fence, it's kind of fallen down, it's about that high. That's the pre-NAFTA fence. And then about 10 feet this way is a 20-foot high steel wall. That's the post-NAFTA. So he said, I mean, who knows about this? And it started to spur the thinking about how our government and our economic system is creating this need to keep people out. We have to have these people for our economy to grow, but we're creating enemies once again. Krista Johnson is here from MCC, and she has spent time in Jerusalem and Israel-Palestine, also a CJP graduate, and she's going to talk a bit more about what MCC is doing in peacemaking in the world. So, thank you.
Well, thank you. We are really excited to be partnering with Ted and Company on this show, and it's always good to be back at EMU. We at MCC are so grateful for our relationship with EMU, and a lot of our some of our peace building work, like in Syria, we're working with an emergency response, you know, placing, you know, aid for when it might be needed, working to make sure that kids who have been displaced across borders can be in schools. But a big part of our response is also preparing peace building practitioners to be ready to go back and rebuild their country after this war comes to an end in Syria. And a part of that has been sending a group of peacebuilding practitioners from Syria to the Summer Peacebuilding Institute last year and again this year, and we're just so grateful for EMU. I find when I travel, people tend to say, we just love the way, you know, the Mennonites do peace work. And I'm always glad to know they mean both MCC and EMU and other institutions when they say that. But it's also fun to see theater and the way it can speak truth in ways that just sitting in a workshop and hearing something doesn't necessarily carry through. So again, in Lebanon, MCC is supporting organizations that use theater and improv comedy and other you know, acts of drama as a way of teaching about peace building skills. And we support a number of peace clubs around the world where students are gathering after school to learn about peace and often to use drama as a way of doing that. So I'd like to show a quick video of one of our peace programs in Zambia and the way that they're using theater and especially the difference that it's made in one young girl's life.
I picked you from the village, brought you here in my house.
I'm Maria Kraus. I'm from Langley, British Columbia, Canada, and I'm working as the Assistant Project Coordinator for Peace Clubs. My understanding of peace is that peace is about right relationships, so right relationships with your parents or your teachers, like as students, yourself, your community, the environment. And so Peace Clubs is not just spewing out jargon about this and all these theories that you like to talk about, but they're actually teaching skills and empowering students to learn how to actually create these right relationships, to learn to know what a right relationship is, what is a healthy relationship. So students are learning how to communicate with their parents about their struggles and issues they're experiencing. And through that communication and that opening up of dialogue, they're able to find solutions together. I was piloting curriculum, a section on violence, in November, December, with two of our Peace Club leaders at Moy. And we were going through the lesson on sexual abuse. And I could see one of the teachers just shifting so uncomfortably. And I kind of hesitated for a while, and then he began to tell the story of something that had happened that weekend. And he started to tell about the situation, about a teacher and a student. the teacher was trying to abuse a student, but the student, a member of Peace Clubs, creatively got herself out of that situation and then was able to go share with her mother about what had happened, which is not necessarily common to have that direct sharing with her parent. And then her mother to not just try to bury it, but to also say, no, this is important, I need to go to the head teacher and share this. So then the mother, the next day, to go and share that with the head teacher. And then the head teacher, who's also a Peace Club leader, for him to say, this is important, we need to look into this right away. And for all of this action to be taken, and for the girl to say, these are my rights, I deserve to be safe and secure in school, I deserve that sense of safety. And for it to be preventative too, that it's not just reactionary, that she wasn't abused because she was able to assert her rights and she was able to find safety.
Well, it was good to hear from Maria about her experience and the powerful stories she shared. Maria was serving with the SALT program, which is the Serving and Learning Together program, which is a one-year volunteer opportunity overseas for young adults. And it's one that I hope you'll all consider as you're graduating and figuring out what comes next. I know for me, a chance to live in Jerusalem for a couple years was really transformative, and I'd highly recommend it to all of you. And thank you again for your connection with MCC. I know it's an organization that I'm incredibly proud to work with. I think it's one that allows for giving our time and our financial gifts joyfully, but the receiving of those gifts with dignity. And I think it's something to be proud of. And we are grateful again to be here and hope to see you all at the show tonight. Thanks.
And I believe Mennonite Central Committee will be here at our coming career and service day, which is February 11. Does anyone have that exact date? 19th, February 19. And other organizations will, for students especially, to engage with and consider what you might be called to at least next. So thank you very much. We look forward to the conference that will be held here this weekend. And can people still sign up or not? Does anyone know? No. You can check with the box office to see if there are still tickets for tonight's performance. I know that for sure. Let's respond singing 407 in the Blue Book. We are people of God's peace. I've heard sometimes a critique here on campus, that it seems as if we speak and preach peace, 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 but don't always clearly connect it with what it means to follow Jesus. And I want to be clear about the connection between peacemaking and following Jesus. We see here in the third verse, we are servants of God's peace of the new creation. That new creation that comes with the fullness of the incarnation, God with us through Jesus. Choosing peace, we faithfully serve with heart's devotion. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, confidence will give us. Christ the Lord is our defense. Christ will never leave us. Let's stand together.
We are people of God's peace, as a new creation. Love unites and strengthens us at this celebration. Sons and daughters of the Lord, serving one another, a new covenant of peace. Together. believe.